I always enjoyed, I wouldn't say enjoy, but as a teenager, I loved to read. I loved to read the book of Daniel. Just for the excitement of it. Amen? I mean, you just think of what happened in the lives of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, as their names were given to them. This morning, I want to look at Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2 this morning. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians, the astrologers, sorcerers, Chaldeans, for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. In other words, I can't even remember the dream. If you will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if you show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. They answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show thee the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of a certainty that you would gain the time, because you see the thing is gone from me. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. For ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it's a rare thing that the king requireth. And there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this cause the king was angry, very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Let's pray. O God of heaven and our Father, we pray before thee this morning. We ask of thee this morning, Lord, that you would speak to us through thy word this morning. Lord, that we would hear, that we would listen with our hearts, that we would hear. And we'll give you all the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Here we see one testimony in the life of Daniel. You know, I want you to turn over to Daniel chapter 6. Because from Daniel chapter 1 to Daniel chapter 6, boy, there are several accounts of things that took place in the life of Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. Each one of them was, boy, what a challenge. And you come down to Daniel chapter 6, and the end of Daniel chapter 6, and this, This is the conclusion of all these events that took place in their lives up until Daniel chapter 6. And you know the accounts there. First, they're brought before the king, and they're told they have to change and adapt and everything else. And they said, no, we're not going to do that. Daniel chapter 2, they're brought before the king and said, you have to tell me the dream. Not only interpret the dream, but tell me the dream. Then in Daniel chapter 3, there, king sets up an image and says, you need to bow down and worship this image or you're going to be cast into a fiery furnace. And then in chapter 6, they're told that they can't pray, and the law's made that they can't pray, and Daniel continues to pray, and he's thrown into a lion's den. And God delivered them out of each one of those circumstances. And you come down to Daniel chapter 6, and in the end of Daniel chapter 6, and there's a very simple phrase in verse number 23. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him. And it just says this, because he believed in his God. Because he believed in his God. So once again, it's all about faith. It's all about a life of faith. But I want you to turn to another passage of Scripture as we begin this morning. Because there's another passage of Scripture over in 2 Peter chapter 1 that gives us insight into the character, the life, and everything about these men. Because we can look at Daniel, we can look at Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael in the Old Testament. We could look at others. We could look at the life of Stephen in the New Testament in Acts chapter 6 and chapter 7. And the testimony is given about these men in 2 Peter chapter 1 in verse number 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. One of those such men that's mentioned in or referred to in 2 Peter is Daniel. Daniel is an Old Testament prophet. We have the book of Daniel. But it speaks about his life. Not only his faith, but the character of his life. Not only the character of his life, but the how he lived for God, how he was able to live for God. And you know, it says there in chapter 1 and verse 21, and it's speaking about the word of God as it was given. But it says in verse 21, it wasn't by the will of man. And everything you see in Daniel 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, it wasn't that these men did this of themselves, lived this way of themselves, or stood before the king of themselves. They were holy men of God that spake. In Daniel chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, 6, you see these men of God speaking, standing before the king and saying things that you when you read them, you say, how did they dare say that to a king? I mean, you just go, if you were to turn to Daniel chapter 3, when these three young men are standing before the king and they're told to bow down or they're going to be cast in a fiery furnace, and they say, we're not careful to answer to this matter, O king. In other words, they said, we don't have to deliberate about this. We don't have to think about this. This is where it's at. Our God is able to deliver us. And yet if he doesn't deliver us, we're not bowing down. You say, how? How did they dare stand up and speak? And by the way, they didn't speak with any arrogance or harshness. The Bible says they spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. They didn't speak with any arrogance. In fact, if you go back to Daniel chapter 2, you see the humility in Daniel's life. In Daniel chapter 2 and verse 30, at the conclusion of what takes place in Daniel chapter 2 that we'll look at in a minute, here's the humility of Daniel. Daniel could have stood up and said, yeah, I'm it. I'm the prophet Daniel. God did this miracle through me. And he could have put the attention on himself, but he says this. But as for me, this secret's, verse 30, as for me, this secret's not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living. Daniel says, it's not about me. Nothing that you see in Daniel 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 did they say was about them. It was all about their God. Because the Bible says they were holy men of God, pure men that lived holy lives. You see, that was their purpose. That was their primary purpose, was to seek to live a pure and holy life. They were men of God. They sought to live for God more than themselves. I mean, every one of these circumstances, is you have these four men that they were always putting God before themselves. It was always all about God. It was always about the testimony of God. And they were holy men of God that spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so we come to Daniel chapter 2, and Daniel chapter 2, and I mean, you talk about a situation they faced. The challenge, that's point number one in case you're taking notes. The challenge that faced them. You think about this challenge. Here it is. Verse number 6. Well, it's over and over again. The challenge is this. Verse number 9. If you will not make known unto me the dream, there is one decree for you. For you have prepared lying and corrupt words before me till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me the interpretation thereof. They stand before the king, and the king says, here's what you must do. Now, this was put first before all the magicians and all the astrologers and all the wise men. And the king said, I've had a dream, and I'm bothered by it. I can't even remember what the dream is. And all these men, he says, here's your challenge. You have got to tell me what the dream is and what it means, or else you die. And the wise men, the astrologers, and they all, the Chaldeans, verse 10, they said, there's not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. There's no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things than any magician or astrologer. And the wise men, their response is this: King, how can you ask this? This is impossible. This is totally impossible. There's no one that is able to stand there and tell you, not just the interpretation, because the king understood, the men understood, everybody understood. Well, if the king tells us a dream, We could make something up and say, well, this is what it means, right? Whether or not it's true or not, at least we'd have something to work with. We've got nothing to work with. There's no story here. There's nothing that, what's the dream? I mean, you know how it is. You wake up some mornings and, you know, you go downstairs and, you say to your husband or wife, man, I had a dream last night. Right? And then we're not getting into dreams this morning, but, you know, it's just, man, I had a dream. And you explain what it was, or you share what it was. Can you imagine how crazy it would be? If you woke up in the morning, you went downstairs, you're having a cup of coffee, and you said to your wife, man, I had a dream last night. It was weird. It was crazy. And your wife says, well, tell me, what was it? And you look at her and say, no, you tell me what it was. Try that at home. See how the rest of your day goes. Right? No, you tell me what it was. I don't know what your dream was. You tell me what it was. And the king says, if you don't, you're going to die. I mean, what a challenge these men face. And by the way, each one of these challenges that they face in their lives, they were not challenges or brought about because they had lived lives. In disobedience to God, these men were living pure lives. These challenges were brought forth before them with one purpose, so they could show before the kings and others that there is a God in heaven. Because that's what Daniel comes down to in verse number 28 of chapter 2. He says, the king, he says, there's a God in heaven. There's a God in heaven. But the challenge that was put before them this day, you speak and you tell me what the dream is, or else you die. Now I want you to notice something. Point number two, I want you to notice the confidence that Daniel had. And this is just utilizing this one example, but the confidence that these men had, the confidence and the faith that they had in their God, the confidence they had. It was a humble confidence, yet it was a powerful confidence. It was a quiet confidence, but it was strong and just proclaimed that there is a God, that our God is powerful. And so in verse 13, the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Okay, so the decree is set forth, and when it says a decree, it's the king's decree. Nothing's going to change it. And so in verse 14, Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. So they come and they seek Daniel and the others, and they're beginning to gather them all together to kill them, because they said it's not going to happen. And when the wise men stood before the king and said, you can't ask this because it's impossible, no one can do this, and the king gets mad and he says, okay, verse 12, the king's angry, furious, and he says, all right, destroy them all. This is what it comes to. Destroy them all. Kill them all. They say they can't do it. Kill them. So they come to Daniel. Verse 15, he answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. And look at verse 16. I mean, you look at the quiet confidence and boldness of Daniel as he was moved by the Holy Spirit of God. This was God working in and through Daniel. Because Daniel stands up before this, challenge, and here's what he says. Daniel went and declared to the king that he would give him time. And then Daniel says this: I will show the king the interpretation. Daniel didn't just say, if God wants, he is able. Daniel says, I will show you the interpretation. In other words, Daniel says, I will show you the dream and I will tell you what it means. Think about that. This is what Daniel says. What a confidence he had. What a faith he had. What boldness he had. But once again, it wasn't an arrogant. Daniel didn't go in waving his arms and swinging his hands and shouting at the top of his head. He went in and he said, I'll tell you the dream and I'll tell you the interpretation. Because Daniel knew that God was able to do it. And God moved him to say that he would do it. Go back to, you don't have to turn back to, but remember what it said in 2 Peter chapter 1? Didn't come by the will of man. Wasn't Daniel just standing up and saying, oh, I'll do it, I can do this, No, it was the Holy Spirit of God moving in Daniel's life to give him the words that he would speak before this king. Because Daniel was a man of God, a holy man of God that was moved by the Holy Spirit of God. Boy, there's a difference there, folks. There's a difference. So many times we can go forward. I'm going to do this. 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 I'm going to say this. I'm going to do this. This isn't what went on in the life of Daniel. The Holy Spirit said, I'm going to do this. And I'm going to use this man Daniel to accomplish it. That everybody will see and know that there is a God in heaven. And Daniel stood there with confidence, quiet and humble and yet confident, because the Bible says in Daniel chapter 6, he believed in his God. His faith was in his God. Verse 17, then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah's companion. In verse 18, they sat down and figured out and come up with a plan and a program and how they were going to get this all done. And no. What did they do? That they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning the secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. And you know what they did? They prayed. They prayed. And they pleaded for the mercy of God. Because what does the book of Hebrews chapter 4 say? The Hebrews chapter 4 says, we can come boldly under the throne of grace that we may attain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And they had confidence, but their confidence was not in themselves at all. Their confidence wasn't in themselves. Their confidence was in God. And they knew their help would come from God. David said this. He says, David one time said, my help cometh from the hills. David says, my help comes from God. And they prayed. And look at verse 19. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. And God answered their prayer. God answered their prayer. And Daniel blessed the God of heaven. And Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever. For wisdom and might are his. He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He gives wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with thee. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desire thee, for thou hast made known unto us the king's matter. But you see in the blessing and the praise of Daniel, where his focus is, it's all on God. Look what he says. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. Wisdom and might are his. He's the one that changes the times. He's the one that removes kings. He's the one that sets up kings. He's the one that gives wisdom unto the wise. He's the one that gives knowledge to them that know understanding. He's the one that reveals the deep and secret things. He's the one that knows what's in the darkness. He's the one that light dwells with him. And Daniel says, I thank thee, O God. I thank thee and praise thee, O God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me what we desired of thee, for thou hast made known unto us the king's matter. And second of all, we see the confidence that Daniel had in the Lord his God. And they prayed in confidence. They prayed in faith, believing. The Bible says, whatsoever you ask in faith, believing, ye shall receive. James says, but better be careful. Because if you don't believe by faith, you're not going to receive anything, because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. These men, they believed by faith, and they just prayed. And they said, Lord, give us wisdom, give us understanding. Please give us the answer. In verse 19, then was a secret revealed unto Daniel in night vision. And the second thing we see is the confidence of God. But the third thing we see is the claim that Daniel made before the king. Look at verse 24. Therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. And look at verse 20. I love verse 25. Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste. Arioch knew. He says, we got trouble. We could all die here pretty quick. And he brings him in haste and said thus unto him, to the king, I have found a man. I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king? Daniel says that what you have demanded, man can't answer. And then he says this, but there is a God in heaven. And folks, that's what makes all the difference. But there is a God in heaven. We're living in a world today that needs to know the reality of that statement right there. But there is a God in heaven. But there is a God in heaven that reveal his secrets. and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and thy visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, the thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter. And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret's not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sake that shall make known the interpretation of the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. And Daniel would go on to share the dream and the whole meaning of it. And as Daniel, and not only this time, but other times, boy, the message that Daniel had to speak was a message of judgment. But the claim that Daniel made is a claim that needs to be made to this world today by the testimony of faith in the people of God. But there is a God in heaven. But there is a God in heaven. We're living in a godless society that claims that there is no God. And God wants to make known that there is a God, that He is God. And God wants to use people like you and me. You know, these men, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Stephen, Paul, they were all men, ladies that were just like you and me. But what set them apart was their life of faith. They were holy people of God, holy men of God, that spake as they moved by the Holy Ghost. And Daniel stands up. First of all, Daniel stands up and says, give me time and I will tell you what the dream is. I'll tell you the interpretation. Daniel says, give me time and God will enable me to do the impossible. And then he prays. Puts his faith in God. Believes God. And then he stands before the king and he says, there is a God in heaven. There is a God in heaven. Folks, we ought to believe that. But we ought to live it. We ought to live it. But there is a God in heaven. And when we live by that faith, not with any sense of arrogancy or pride or anything else, but humility, there is a God in heaven. God will declare Himself to the world around us through our testimony, through our lives, through our words. But there is a God in heaven. And I'm telling you this morning, this world needs to know that God. This world needs to know that God. But it starts, if you will, go back to 2 Peter chapter 1. But it starts with this right here. And I know you're going to be amazed, but this is a conclusion. This is the conclusion of the message this morning. It says, prophecy came not in old time by the will of men. It wasn't by the will of men. But it was holy men of God that spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And that's what's needed in this world today. That's what's needed. Holiness, purity. People of God that live for God, that live unto God, live for God, and that are moved by the Holy Spirit of God. That God works in their life and God uses them. That's what needed. You know, we don't need more organization, folks. We don't need more planning. We first and foremost, what we need is holy lives before God that know what it means to really believe God, to pray, to walk by faith and to live by faith and allow the Holy Spirit of God to move us, to lead us, to guide us, to give us wisdom and counsel and the words and power and might and strength, and that the Holy Spirit would work in us. But this world is in desperate need of people of God that through their lives and their faith show them that there is a God. And God wants it to be you and me. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for thy word. Lord, I pray that your word has spoken to our hearts. Lord, and challenge us in this day in which we live to live unto thee, not unto ourselves, not by ourselves, not for ourselves, not by any strength and power which we possess in and of ourselves, but by thee, O God. For with God all things are possible. And Lord, I pray that we would yield ourselves to thee, live for thee, live unto thee, live holy and pure lives by faith in thee. That you would use us to be a light to this world, a testimony that there is a God in heaven. Lord God, there's so many people around us that are living in darkness, dying because of sin. Facing the judgment of God. And spending eternity in the torments of hell. And yet, Lord, you've promised life through Jesus Christ. You want the world to know of this life. You want the world to know of the salvation through Jesus Christ that they can have. And Lord, you want us to be the vessels that you can utilize to proclaim clearly and purely and powerfully the message of the gospel. And so, Lord, I pray that you would stir our hearts to humble ourselves before thee, to live before thee, and to live for thee, and to use us in these days in this world. And we'll be careful to give you all the glory. Lord, let no glory return unto us, but let it all be lifted up to thee. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.